Welcome to the official Equine Affair podcast. This podcast is your inside look at everything to do with Equine Affair, from special events to exclusive interviews with top equine professionals and a whole lot more. In today's episode, we're going behind the scenes at Equine Affair with an interview with Hannah Stickles, our trade show and sponsorship manager. Then we'll have a word from US Equestrian. Stay tuned. All right, let's get into today's episode. Our first guest is Hannah Stickles, who is our trade show and sponsorship manager here at Equine Affair. Hannah has been a full-time staff member since 2013. And before that, she worked as a volunteer and then as a contract staff member. Today, Hannah's job is to coordinate the sale of the exhibit spaces in our trade shows, manage the on-site production of the trade show at each event, and oversee our sponsorship program. She's also a passionate horse person. So with no further ado, let's welcome Hannah. Hi, Hannah.
Hi, Allison. Thank you.
So let's start off with an easy question. So tell us, how did you fall in love with horses?
All right. So when I was about 10 years old, my parents bought our very first horse. Dilbert was his name. Dilbert was actually supposed to be my dad's horse, but it didn't take long before I kind of snatched him up, and it was pretty obvious he was now my horse, which my dad, you know, had mixed feelings about, but it was all good. And I suppose it's a bit stereotypical, but it was kind of, you know, girl meet horse, and the rest from there was history.
So that's the story of how you fell in love with horses, and I think we can all relate to that. And then tell us how you first became involved with Equine Affair. Kind of chronicle your journey for us.
So when we first got Dilbert, it wasn't long after at all that I joined a 4-H group, as many of us do when we're, you know, younger. And of course, pretty par for the course, our 4-H group required us to do some volunteer work. And our group's go-to was Equine Affair. Before then, I actually didn't have any knowledge of Equine Affair because I hadn't really had any horse knowledge to begin with. And my first volunteer experience with Equine Affair was actually just mucking out stalls. We would do that in the morning for a few days, and then we enjoyed the event the rest of the afternoon and got to, you know, go to some of the clinics and seminars and see all of the different breeds and horses. And I mean, like I said, I was new to the horse world at this point. So being at Equine Affair was just like magical for me, seeing all of these different types of horses, because Dilbert was a American Quarter Horse. So we didn't have too many different breeds in the barn we had him at, but it was just so kind of crazy for me at the time to see, you know, a Friesian for the first time and a draft horse. I was just like, whoa. And it was really just cool to be able to see all of that there at the event. And it was just kind of like, showed me how the horse world was outside of the tiny experience I had had so far. And from there, I was pretty much hooked to kind of going to the Equine Affair and just enjoying the event.
That's awesome. And I think that's such a great, relatable story that we, especially if you're a young horse person, you've probably been exposed to just the one breed that you were introduced to, and that's sort of your whole world. And then you go to a place like Equine Affair and you realize that's just a really tiny sliver of the pie. And there's this huge pie filled with all these different kinds of horses and disciplines and people and different experiences. So that's pretty awesome.
Before I had gone to Equine Affair, you know, I had had experience at like our county fair. And I thought, you know, seeing a few of the different breeds there, I was like, oh, cool. And I don't know, it just really expanded upon that so much. It was really an awesome experience.
So when did you go from attendee to, you know, you went from attendee to volunteer, and then when did you start becoming I think it was a contract staff member. When did you make that leap?
Yes. So, because I started volunteering at Equine Affair when I was pretty young, like I was about 10 or 11 when I started. So shortly after we had, you know, gotten our first horse, I want to say it was definitely a few years, maybe 4 or 5. So I was more in my teens. I think I was around 15 or 16 when I kind of got my first contracted staff gig, which was super exciting for me at the time. You know, I was still young, so I was like, whoa, look at me. I'm being paid to do something I love. This is awesome. And my job for the contracted staff was still actually working with volunteers in the volunteer office with the coordinator as an assistant, because I had obviously quite a bit of experience just, you know, being in there and working with volunteers already.
That's great. So you went from, you keep going from like one side of it to the other side of it. You start as a volunteer, you end up managing volunteers.
Yeah, they couldn't quite shake me out of the event. I just stuck around.
And then you became a full-time staff member in 2013, right?
Yes, which was actually, I graduated high school in 2013. And then I feel fortunate that the owner of the company at that point in time, Eugenia Snyder, she kind of, I think, took a little bit of a leap of faith, obviously, hiring a high school student out of the school. And hired me on as a trade show assistant, in 2013, shortly after I graduated.
That's awesome. That's such a fairy tale right there.
Yeah, right. It was crazy, but it was just such an amazing experience. And I mean, it still continues to be, but it really was kind of crazy for me back then. I remember being just kind of mind blown. I was like, I can't believe she's doing this, but this is awesome. So.
Well, it obviously worked out because it's like 10 years later and here you are.
Yes. Here I am still, you know, going with it today.
Yeah. So, I think something that a lot of people may not realize is that our full-time staff is quite small, and then we rely on volunteers like you used to be and contractors to help with the production of the two events. So I thought something that you could talk about with us today on the show is how important volunteers are and why people should think about volunteering if they want to get involved or if they want to learn more or just help put on Equine Affair. Can you kind of talk to that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So like you said, we definitely are a small group, and I agree. I think a lot of people don't usually actually expect that. But you know, our small group do the actual planning and coordination, I would say, of the event. And even though, you know, it only takes a few of us to iron out, I would say, the details of what's going to happen at an event, it most definitely takes a lot more to actually execute and produce an event as extensive as Equine Affair. And we genuinely could not do that without the volunteers that we have who extend a hand to help all of us pull off the equine experience we've all come to know and love. I mean, volunteers are an integral part of Equine Affair, from even setting up the event before the show starts to helping us ensure that, you know, perhaps even a new person who's only attending the event for the first time, you know, is experiencing the event to the best of its ability. Because our volunteers, you know, they interact with not only our staff and our contracted staff, but all the attendees that are coming, and they have an impact on those people. You know, so it's just so important when they come to help and support the event and dedicate some of their time to us. And there are so many ways for volunteers to contribute to the event while still enjoying all of that Equine Affair has to offer and taking advantage of the free admission, of course, which I know when I was a kid was a kind of nice part of it, was convincing my parents, hey, I can totally go to this and it doesn't cost anything, so let's do it. But just kind of a small, you know, little benefit to it. But when it comes down to it, we really rely on our volunteers, and they're a great asset to Equine Affair. And I don't know where we would be without them.
Absolutely. Because I think for the visitor, they may not realize that the person who takes their tickets is a volunteer. The person who hands them programs is a volunteer. The person who scans their tickets for Fantasia is a volunteer. What are some of the other jobs that people might not know are actually being performed by volunteers?
Yeah. So volunteers, I know they help out in our equine fundamentals forum. That's actually kind of an important aspect, sort of an educational area focused for not only new horse people, but those well-versed in it, as well as our marketplace, which is, you know, the consignment shop that we host at the Equine Affair. It takes a lot of people to help coordinate stuff like that. We even have, you know, building security people that help us keep the buildings kind of locked down for our exhibitors, because that's, you know, an important aspect. I know we also still have people that need to clean stalls, which yes, is obviously holds a place in my heart, because that's what my major part was that I did for a long time. And I know we also use Fantasia ushers. Honestly, I feel like everywhere you look at the event, there is a volunteer somewhere. Like, you can usually spot one if you just look around.
Yeah.
Because they're really so important to just everything we have to do to get everything done and to have a good show for everyone.
Absolutely. So we're super grateful to them. I don't think we could really put on the shows without them. As you said before, it may take a small group of us to plan, but it takes a huge group to execute. So, and you mentioned that volunteers can work for free admission, which is great. It's definitely a great perk. But I wanted to ask you, when you were volunteering, what was the most fulfilling part of that for you?
Well, I have a lot of fond memories volunteering. I would say for me, it was probably the feeling of coming together as a community. Now, like, not only a community of horse enthusiasts, which is really a major aspect of Equine Affair, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, not only are you surrounded by people who love horses, but you can also find people who love the same specific breed or discipline as you, because it's an all breed, all discipline show. But I mean, aside from like that aspect of it, the community of volunteers itself, I actually really enjoyed. I mean, I volunteered for several years, and each year it was wonderful to see familiar faces returning to take part and help again, because that's a, you know, that's another part people may not realize is, I mean, we have volunteers that have been volunteering since the start of Equine Affair. It's absolutely just mind blowing and amazing. All these people that have just dedicated to helping Equine Affair grow since the start. And yeah, I mean, you just get to know each other, and it's really just like this special extended family that you were actually happy to see each year. And it was just awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a special, special feeling when a bunch of people come together to put on an event like that. And it, you know, only happens once a year in Ohio and once a year in Massachusetts. And it is kind of like a little family reunion every year, I imagine.
Yeah, it's, and actually, you know, even we have a lot of volunteers who have been doing it for so long that they, it's kind of been interesting. They saw me when I was a kid, and now here I am, you know, working for the company, and they've seen me grow. And it's kind of just amazing, because we'll get together at the event and I'll say, hey, how's it going? And we, you know, catch up and talk. And it's just, it's really cool that there are these people out there that, you know, just, I mean, they just came to volunteer and, you know, help us where they were able to. You know, they don't have to or anything, but they do every year. A lot of them do, and they're just awesome people.
That's great. And they've watched you grow up, literally.
Yeah, literally. So, the good and the bad.
Well, and you're all grown up, and you are our trade show manager. And that was sort of the other half of what our show was going to be about today, was the trade show. So I thought I could ask you about what goes into planning the trade show. Kind of give us that inside look, because I think that's another thing people don't realize is just how much work it takes to put on that huge expansive trade show that spreads across three or four buildings. And so tell us a little bit about your job.
Yes. Now we are getting to the good part. I love talking about our trade show, honestly, because I just genuinely think we provide like such a great diverse floor for our attendees and really unique equine focused companies. And I'm proud, because I've spent, you know, a lot of time working for this and, you know, striving on it. But, you know, we do actually boast one of the largest equine related trade shows. We have around 300 trade show exhibitors alone for Ohio, not counting even our breed pavilion, our horse and farm participants, which wow. I just, you know, it's amazing. It really is. And, you know, pulling the floor together is a lot of meticulous planning. And it's a lot of communication with our exhibitors regarding, you know, how not only we want our floor to shape up, but what their needs are. You know, our goal is to provide a great shopping experience for our attendees, obviously. But, you know, we also try to ensure that our vendors have a positive experience, because, you know, it's a bit of a balancing act, keeping what attendees want and are looking for when they come to the event to shop. And making sure that aligns with what we have. And so that's successful for the vendors who also come.
So it's a big job. It's a big job. And it's a matter of giving the attendees what they want, but then also keeping our vendors happy. It's a balancing act.
Yeah, I would say it definitely is. Because I mean, sometimes, you know, I like to think of it, this is going to sound really corny, but almost like a semi-circle of life type deal. Because, you know, Attendees come, you know, a big part of it is to, they come to shop, and mm-hmm. exhibitors come to sell, obviously. And there's that balance though of, in order to keep it kind of healthy and going round and round, is, you know, we have to have what attendees are looking for. And, you know, because sometimes we'll have exhibitors that actually want to come onto the floor, but we can't accept them because maybe we already have too many of that type of product or mm-hmm. category. Or, you know, maybe we just don't think it's going to be a good fit for what our attendees are looking for, because mm-hmm. ultimately, you know, we don't want them to not be successful because we don't know if they're going to, you know, do well with our attendees. So it's definitely a balancing act.
Yeah. What would you say is the most surprising thing about putting on a trade show for someone who knows nothing about it? So like one of our attendees, what do you think they'd be most surprised to learn about what it takes to put on the trade show?
I think a lot of people will look at our trade show and they feel a little overwhelmed by the size, and they might think that there's actually no particular organization or reason to where vendors are located. You know, you just walk in a building, it's like, bam, wow, rows and rows of all these exhibitors that, you know, you get to peruse. And I think the thing that might be a little surprising is we actually do our best to analyze our floor each year. And we see how our categories are shaping, which categories being how many like tack retailers mm-hmm. we have, how many apparel vendors, associations, feed companies, colleges, or even, you know, art and decor. Like how many of those do we have on the floor? What can our floor support of those vendors based off, you know, the area's demographic? We do two different events, one in Ohio and one in Massachusetts, and the demographics for those two events are actually different for what mm-hmm. those attendees are looking for when they're shopping. Mm-hmm. So we kind of take all of that into consideration when we're accepting new vendors, and it impacts even where they're placed on the floor, because we actually try to spread out, you know, similar companies. You know, we don't want two feed companies right next to each other if we can avoid it, just kind of give everybody a little space. So attendees are seeing a wide array of things while they're walking down the aisle. And, you know, we do this all in an effort to not only ensure our attendees have a well-rounded shopping experience, but also obviously to the benefit of our exhibitors.
So it's pretty cool to think about. You guys are literally plotting the geography of the trade show, and you're paying close attention to where every single little hill or valley or river ends up. So if we think about it as a map, it's a very meticulously plotted out map. It's not just, yeah, we'll throw a bunch of vendors in there and see where it goes.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, you probably don't think about that when you're walking through, but there actually was a bit of planning of where these people are that you might be seeing on our floor.
Yeah. I love that. I think that's a really great, really great insight. And hopefully our listeners will think about that when they come see us at the Ohio Expo Center in April, just a couple months away as of this recording. So awesome. All right. So the other part of your job, which I said in the intro is a huge, you have kind of three big jobs, but one of the other jobs that you do is sponsorship manager. So can you share a little bit about why our sponsors are so important to the event?
Oh yeah. So I work closely with all of our gracious sponsors. They really do go above and beyond in their support of Equine Affair. And I mean, as many people might imagine, you know, producing an event the size of Equine Affair can be, you know, a bit costly, especially as we do our best to bring, you know, top clinicians and performers to participate in the show. And really when it comes to it, not only is Equine Affair, of course, grateful to our sponsors, but I mean, we all should be because it's their contributions that are so critical in allowing us to, you know, not only produce a top tier event, but to keep that event affordable for attendees and exhibitors alike. You know, it's their support that goes above and beyond to really bring us to the position that we are now.
Absolutely. I think that's a great way to put it. And another thing that people may not think about when they come to Equine Affair is that it really wouldn't be possible without volunteers, without attendees, without exhibitors, but also most importantly, without sponsors. It just couldn't happen without all those people. Yeah.
Yes. That goes back to this is how I, of course, think of it, but my little circle of life, you know, mm-hmm. we really all do kind of rely upon one another. Like mm-hmm. exhibitors rely on attendees, you know, rely on just their enjoyment of the event, of the clinicians and everything. And Equine Affair relies on everybody, really. So, you know, it's a great circle.
Absolutely. All right. So in our last couple minutes here, I wanted to ask you a couple of questions about your experiences. So first of all, do you have a personal favorite aspect of Equine Affair, something that you look forward to for every event?
Well, not to be cliche, but it is really hard to choose. however, I would say, like, hands down, it's Fantasia. It might sound corny, but I feel grateful to like all the amazing aspects of the event, mainly because I learned so much from clinics and seminars I myself attended during events. Mm-hmm. The educational aspect is so amazing for horse lovers and like all walks of life and experience. The trade show can be dangerous because I have to face my bank account afterwards. but yes. Fantasia is just so magical. I never tire of the beautiful performances, and it really just stirs that feeling we all have towards horses and our like appreciation of them. You just can't go wrong with it.
Yeah. There's so I write our press releases, and every year, twice a year, I have to write a press release about Fantasia. And when I kind of sit and I think like, okay, what am I going to talk about Fantasia? I always come back to that feeling when the lights first go dark at the very beginning of the show. And it's just that feeling of total magic is about to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. Something amazing is going to happen for the next hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. But I start with thinking about that first moment when the lights go dark right before the spotlight comes on. I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? That's what I think about.
Yeah, I always find it amazing because I've been watching Fantasia for, I mean, so long now, mm-hmm. It feels like, and you know, there are, occasionally acts that are, you know, you've seen it once and it may come back in a different way, but, you never get tired of those. And it's just so exciting when there's a brand new act, and it's just, I love it. It's an awesome, just way to end the great event too, you know? So Fantasia is by far my favorite.
Absolutely. All right. And then my last question is, do you have a favorite tip or piece of advice that you like to give attendees to help them get the most out of their visit to Equine Affair?
This likely isn't a surprise as an event planner, ultimately, but my best tip is to plan.
Yes.
Equine Affair has like just so much to offer. Even sometimes when I'm looking at our website and some of the new special features we are offering, I'm just like, oh wow, we're doing this. Like, this is so exciting and cool. And I can't believe we're doing this in addition to everything else. It's amazing, honestly. And I do think, you know, a lot of people actually don't take full advantage of it because they sometimes don't realize how much there is to the event. You know, we provide a ton of information on our website on what you can expect at the event each year, you know, including like the clinic schedule, what exhibitors are going to be there and breeds are attending, what a special events are going on, you know, et cetera. And the best way to experience the event can, I would say, take multiple days. But if you're only able to come one day, you definitely want to make sure you plan ahead.
I think that's a great tip. I think if you think about it this way, you wouldn't spend one day at Disneyland or Disney World without planning in advance, right? Because if you're only spending the one day, you've got to plan it out so that you can hit all the things that you really want to see. And I think that planning your trip to Equine Affair, if you can only make it one day, make that day count, right? Do your homework.
For sure.
Plan
or
ahead.
Even, I mean, you know, I wonder if sometimes people think they only need to come one day, but I want to be like, hey, if you can do it, you need to be there more than just one day, because it really, there's a lot of different things happening on different days. You know, the Versatile Horse and Rider, I believe, is only one day now on mm-hmm. Friday. That's such an exciting event, and kind of feature within the event itself, of course. So there's a lot that you don't want to miss. So
absolutely. Well, you said it best. I agree with your tip. I think that's what I would tell people too.
Yeah, definitely. Take all advantage right. of the website.
Yes. All right. Well, we are all out of time, but thank you so much, Hannah, for joining us and coming on the show.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
All right. Now, listeners, stick around for a short segment from one of our sponsors, US Equestrian. Our next guest is Mark Coley, Managing Director of Marketing and Events for US Equestrian. We're delighted to have Mark on the show, so let's welcome him on. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Good. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing great. Thank you for joining us. So let's dive right in. I thought it would be good to talk about the mission of US Equestrian. So what is US Equestrian and what is its role in our industry?
Yeah. So US Equestrian, I know a lot of people sometimes refer to us still as USEF, which is, we sort of go by both names. We serve as the national governing body for equestrian sports in the US. So what we do is we represent 29 different breed and disciplines. We license more than 2,500 competitions annually. And at the core of it, we're a membership organization. We have over 200,000 members and fans who we all sort of share the passion for horses. And that's really what connects us across those different breeds and disciplines. Our mission is to provide access to and increase participation in equestrian sport at all different levels by ensuring fairness, safety, and enjoyment. So there's a bunch of different ways that we do this, from educating and licensing our officials and judges to overseeing the rule book, which really is sort of the foundation for organized sport. We have a compliance department that does on-site inspections, our safe sport policy in place, which helps make sure that our competitors are safe, as well as a lot of different initiatives, ensuring that we have horse welfare as a top priority and that we have a fair and level playing field for everyone.
That was a lot. There's a lot that US Equestrian does. And I love that because I think most people think US Equestrian or USEF, which thank you for clarifying that you guys go by both names, because that can be confusing. But they think of that organization and they think competition and they think high level competition. But a lot of what you were saying is that it's competition at all levels and that competition is just a facet of it, that there's a whole lot of things that you guys do.
Absolutely. Yeah. A key focus of the work that we do is on really making sure that competitions, but really our competitors and the horses, safety and welfare is the top priority. So I know I mentioned the rule book, which is really, it's a daunting document when you look at how many pages it is, but it's set up with a purpose to really prioritize the welfare of our horses and the competitors at the different licensed competitions. Another great example is we have our compliance department, and this is a department that they go to different horse shows throughout the country. They visit the venues and they do a lot of different extensive reports on where can improvements be made and work with the organizers to make sure that different standards are met. The major focus of what they're looking at is how can we always continue to improve and make these competitions really safer for our horses and riders.
And I think that's really important. And it was something I was hoping we could talk about today, which is how you guys benefit the welfare of horses at large, because we're nothing without our horses. If we don't have sound, healthy horses that can compete safely, what do we have? So, can you talk a little bit more about that? Share maybe what that looks like. What are all the different ways that US Equestrian kind of works to make sure horses are safe?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, I think starting at the rule book, that is the number one way. It's set up so that we have competition organizers have to follow standards. And when you go to a horse show, whether it be on the East Coast or you go to a horse show on the West Coast, as a competitor, you know, you're coming to a licensed competition that it's going to have minimum requirements that are set up to make sure that you as well as your horse have a fair shot. And you know sort of what you're getting into before you actually get to that competition. We have a drugs and medication department that works with actually the University of Kentucky in their state-of-the-art lab on equine drug testing. Mm-hmm. Once again, we're making sure that it's a fair and level competition field for everyone, but also making sure that people are treating their horses correctly. Our hearing process, which is sort of a behind the scenes thing that a lot of people don't know about, but when we do have violations, that's something that internally we handle. We have a process with volunteer membership that oversees what those sanctions would look like. And then we have some other programs. One of the ones that actually I'm directly involved in over the years has been the USEF Equine Disaster Relief Fund. Mm-hmm. And that was actually started after Hurricanes Katrina and Rita. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it helps provide funding to any horse of any breed and discipline. Does not have to be one of our 29 recognized ones. that are impacted by a natural disaster. 100% of the donations that we receive towards that fund are distributed out to different nonprofits, vet hospitals, the organizations that are really on the ground assisting when these natural disasters happen. And it's been great that since I've been involved in the inception, over $500,000 has been given out in direct relief to help horses that unfortunately have been impacted by these different disasters.
That's great. I mean, that's so important because you named those two hurricanes, Katrina and Rita, but there are so many other natural disasters that have happened, unfortunately. And I think we've certainly seen the articles about, you know, be prepared for those disasters. Here's what you can do to get ready. But then if you get blindsided and your barn is swept away, there's, you know, you can find yourself really hurting and really just completely lost. So I love that you guys are out there helping them with that, that you're passing on those donations really to horses on the ground that need it and their people.
Yeah.
So a little while back, you mentioned that US Equestrian is a membership organization. So I was hoping we could talk about the benefits to members. You know, why should people consider joining US Equestrian?
Absolutely. Yeah. How our membership is set up is it's nice. There's sort of three different levels that can apply to anyone depending on sort of what their involvement is and how they want to take advantage of the membership. So our first level is what we call our fans. And these are really individuals who want to take advantage of some benefits of the organization and stay connected in the industry. This is completely free to become a fan, and it does come with some benefits. As you mentioned, education, that's actually a key component of our marketing team. We're always trying to find new ways that we can educate the industry. So we have a learning center, which includes different articles and videos that features athletes and trainers. We have member perk discounts that as a fan, you can take advantage of. So whether you're shopping with Dover or SmartPak, these are discounts that our partners offer to our members and fans. One of the other big benefits is the ability to watch live streams on the USEF network. So this is our streaming platform, and fans have the ability to watch our streams live. So they can tune in and watch all across the country. We have different streams featuring our breeds and disciplines. The next tier is sort of the next involvement level. It's called our subscriber members. And this is $25 for the entire year. In addition to sort of the benefits of the fans, what they receive, they get the USEF Network on-demand video. So any of those live streams, they can go back and rewatch. If they weren't able to watch it live, they have the choice to go and do that. We have an interscholastic program. We have different health and insurance benefits, plus a lot of other things that at that subscriber level, you do get to take advantage of. Then our final tier is our competing members. This is for participants who are actually going to licensed competitions and showing. This membership allows them to compete as well as earn points and other awards for recognition. And they can take advantage of all of the benefits. That's sort of our top tier of membership, where they receive everything involved with the benefits and discounts, as well as the ability to go and go to horse shows.
That's fantastic. I really love that there's a free option, because I think that sometimes people feel, especially if they're new to the industry, they might feel overwhelmed by the dues every year to all the different organizations that they can join. So I love that you guys have a free option, and then they can kind of get a taste for it and go, yeah, I think I do want to move up to the subscriber level, which you said was just 25 per year, right?
Exactly. Yep,
yeah. Correct. That's still very affordable. So I love that. That's awesome. So let's chat a little bit about Equine Affair. You guys are one of our sponsors, of course, and we're so grateful, but I wanted to find out, what's your presence there going to look like this year in Ohio, which is our event coming up in just a couple months?
Yeah, so we're excited to come back to Equine Affair in Columbus. Obviously, coming out of the COVID environment, it's great to have competitions and events like Equine Affair back on the calendar. I know I've certainly missed attending them.
Yes.
I know probably a lot of the listeners are very excited to be able to get back out and attend them as well. So this year we're going to have a booth on site where anyone who is going to be in person can come and learn more about our organization. Those free fan accounts we were just talking about, they can sign up for those right at the booth. We're going to have some of our official team apparel, and they can learn more about some of the benefits that we have to offer. We've come to Equine Affair for many years, and it's always just great meeting new people from across the country and I think everyone there, we all connect the shared love of horses. So it's fun being able to talk to new people and sort of share what we do with them, as there's a lot of commonality that we can find at the event.
Absolutely. And what are you personally looking forward to most? I know you said getting out of the COVID environment, going out and meeting people again, but is there something in particular that you're really excited about?
I think I will say that is probably, from my perspective, mm-hmm. my favorite part is meeting the new people, and not necessarily just attendees, but there's so many great individuals who are there teaching clinics or other industry professionals who may have a vendor booth. It's a great networking opportunity just to sort of learn about different aspects of the equine industry that maybe I'm not already familiar with, or someone else may not already know. It's sort of a lot of great minds coming together, and it's just a fun event. There's so much to do. It's a busy weekend, but it's one that we always look forward to every year.
Definitely. I'm definitely looking forward to it. After 2 years away in Ohio, it's exciting to think about being back there on the ground. And like you said, meeting new people and learning about new things and new parts of the industry. So kind of to wrap up our episode, we're coming to the very end of our time, but what is the best way for people to learn about US Equestrian?
I would say definitely, if you're going to be at Equine Affair in person, come by to our booth. We'd love to meet with you and chat with you a bit about our organization. But for listeners, our website is a great resource. You can go to uscf.org. That's where you can sign up for a fan account if you would like, but also you can discover the benefits that we were talking about and discover more about what our organization does for all these different breeds and disciplines. You can check out what our live stream calendar is going to be for the year, as well as really start to take advantage of some of the educational resources that we offer. We try to put out content that many different horse lovers can take advantage of. So horse health tips, and as we talked about with the disaster relief, sometimes we do content features around how to be prepared for situations like that. So I think there's definitely something for everyone that they can learn from and that they can enjoy. And I would definitely encourage people to check out the website and learn more that way.
Definitely. So if you're listening, make sure you go to usef.org to learn more about US Equestrian. And if you plan to join us in Ohio, definitely put them on your list of booths to visit. They will definitely be there. And we're so excited about that. So that about wraps up our episode. Thank you, Mark, for joining us and for sharing a little bit about this awesome organization.
Chris, thank you for having me. This has been fun.
Absolutely. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And we will see you at Equine Affair in Ohio. Thanks for listening to the official Equine Affair podcast. I am your host, Allison Renborg. Equine Affair gratefully acknowledges its sponsors, Absorbine, US Equestrian, Rods, Farnham, Cosequin, Nutrina, Cashman's, Horizon Structures, and GGT Footing. Equine Affair will be at the Ohio Expo Center in Columbus, Ohio on April 7th through the 10th, 2022. And at the Eastern States Exposition in West Springfield, Massachusetts, November 10th through the 13th, 2022. You can buy tickets, see the full event schedules, and all the latest news at equineaffair.com. And finally, catch up on all our past podcasts online by visiting equineaffair.com/home/podcast.